Glad people could be here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm lead pastor here at Grace. And very excited to be here today, continuing on in our sermon series called Romans. And this is a sermon we started just last week, this sermon series, that we're going through a summer preaching schedule of talking about the book of Romans and looking at what it is. And the book of Romans, if you haven't read it, is a very deep theological book. There's a lot of topics in there that people spend a whole lifetime studying. So what we're going to be doing throughout this whole teaching series is going through and breaking apart some of the big things in Romans that Paul was talking about. Now, the book of Romans was written by a guy named Paul. And Paul wrote the book of Romans. It's a little different than the other letters he wrote to other churches. He wrote Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, and he wrote these different letters to different churches. But each of those churches were ones he had already visited, talked to them, explained the gospel, explained Jesus, talked about how it all worked, and then he was writing little letters to say, there's a problem, something's going on, let me correct it and try and help you guys so you can continue on the right path. But the book of Romans is different because he hadn't visited Rome yet. In fact, none of the apostles had gone to Rome yet. What happened is, people who were in Rome had been in Jerusalem, had been around the time of Pentecost, had heard about Jesus, had been converted, went to Rome and kind of started the church, but they didn't have anyone that kind of centered them and really grounded them on what they were understanding and their understanding of Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote to the Romans and said, I'm going to lay this out. I will be coming to you later in person, but I want to make sure you guys understand from beginning to end what it looks like to have a life in Christ. And so the beauty of Romans is we get to see from the very beginning of where we are without God to what happens when you have God in your life and how you change and how he changes you and goes through. So we started last week, as Paul started in the book of Romans, by talking about this idea we're going from death to life, that we went from a life as in sin, we were dead to sin, to now having a full and complete life. And it starts with last week of we're all sinners. And starting with this point of going, we need to understand, every one of us, whether you're Jew or Gentile, which means whether you're anyone in the world, if you are alive, you're a sinner. Why? Because we have a flesh that is a sinful flesh that fights against us all the time. That is, we are born with a sin nature. And so it's not, oh, you might have sinned. We've all sinned. We all have sin in our life. We're all sinners. And this is a really important place to start, because if you don't sit there and think and you go, I think I'm pretty good, I'm not a sinner, none of this really matters to you, because you sit there and go, why do I need God if I think I'm fine without him? Why do I need God if I think I'm a perfect person? So we have to recognize we're all sinners, every single one of us. And as we're talking about understanding that we're all sinners, we start looking at going, if we're sinners, now what happens next? And as we go through this book of Romans, as we go through this letter that Paul wrote, there's going to be some vocabulary that we're going to hit on that you may know or may not know. And there's going to be different terms like righteousness or the gospel, sin, faith, grace, the law, spirit, gifts. You're going to have these different words that you may go, oh, I know what that is. Or you go, I'm not quite sure. Today, we're going to be hitting on a big word in the vocabulary. And this word is justification. Who here has heard the term justification before? Yes? Okay, good. Honestly now, who here really knows what justification really is? A couple, good. Same exact answer I had first service. And people are like, yeah, we know it, but I don't really know what it is. That's a very common thing, because we hear, this is what I call one of these words that's a church word, that people go, oh yeah, I've heard that in church before, but they just said it and it kept on going, and I have no idea what's going on here. So today, really, this whole sermon is going to be about this one word, justification, and understanding what justification is, understanding what it means and what it means to us and how it changes our entire lives, this one word. So we're going to be looking at that. And like I said, it all starts from this place, right? We're all sinners. To get to the place that understand what justification is, you have to have a solid grasp that we are all sinners, every single one of us. We're born with it. It's in our flesh. And when we say we're all sinners, what we're saying is we're not righteous. If we're sinners and we have sin in our life, That means it breaks us apart from God. There's separation in our relationship from God because of sin in our life. And that means we are not righteous, which means God is righteous. God is righteous. He is holy. He is perfect. He is righteous in everything. And we are not. And because of that, that's that gap that separates us and God in our relationship. Sin causes us to be not righteous in God's sight. He is still righteous despite our sin, but we are not. And so when you recognize that we're all sinners and we're not righteous, well, how do we know we're not righteous? And that is provided by the law. The law was God's standard for perfection to people. The law was given to say, here's what you need to do if you want to be righteous. And not do some of it, not do the parts you like. You have to follow every single perfect tittle and point of the law and be perfect in it to be righteous. The problem is, no one can do that. None of us can. And even in the Old Testament, God said, way going, here's what it means to be righteous. I know you can't meet it. I'm going to create ways like atonement and sacrifice so that even though you can't follow the law perfectly and be righteous, guess what? I'm still going to make a way so you can still have a relationship with me. And in the Old Testament, that's how it worked. There was the law, the standard for perfection, but no one could meet it. And so God set up ways so that we could have a relationship still with him. And many of us, when we think of the law, we think of like Moses and the Ten Commandments, right? This is my favorite, just to be honest. This is my favorite picture of Moses, even though it's a drawing. You know, it's my favorite of Moses because it's like angry Moses. Like he just came down from the mountain. He hung out with God. He sees people worshiping idols. And he's like throwing down the tablets. There's lightning and thunder. I think it's a pretty good angry Moses, personally. And I can understand how he would be angry in the situation he was in. But when we think of the law, we think of like the big Ten Commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Like some of those big things, like let's not do those. Let's stay away from that big list. And people go, well, okay, I'm staying away from that big list. The law is, you know, the big Ten Commandments. And I don't do those. I mean, I haven't killed someone yet. I haven't committed adultery. I've had some thoughts, but I haven't done anything. So, you know, I'm doing pretty good, right? I have heard this line from people many a times in life. I'm doing pretty good. This is a dangerous line to say and speak. Because as soon as you go, I'm doing pretty good, it means I know I'm failing, but I'm only failing somewhat, so I'm comfortable with it. This is the lukewarm that Jesus was talking about, going, either be hot on fire for me, be cold away from me, but when you're lukewarm in this kind of area, I just want to spit you out. Because it's just not good. There's nothing to work with. You're sitting there going, I'm okay. I'm okay with what's going on. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not committing the big ones. Little white lies, no big deal. Like, right? Like, I haven't killed anyone, so that's a good thing. Right? You sit there. Have you ever heard people say, oh, I'm sinning, but it's not that big of a sin. Right? It's a little white lie, or it's just a little cheating on my taxes. It's just a couple fudging at the numbers so I get a bigger return. The problem is, sin is breaking the law. Sin is showing you that you are not holding up to God's standard of righteousness. Sin, really, the meaning of sin means to miss the mark. That's if you translate the word, it means to miss the mark. It's like you're standing there at a target and you're shooting an arrow after arrow after arrow, and every single one of them is going around but not hitting the bullseye. That's the idea of sin, is going, you're trying to find perfection in Jesus Christ, perfection in God, righteousness, and we continue to miss the mark. That's a tough one when you sit there and go, I never hit it. I never hit the mark. Ever. I'm going to tell you something right now. You will never hit the mark. Ever. If our goal is to be perfectly righteous, you will fail. All of us will fail. Why? Because none of us can be righteous. None of us is perfect. None of us is God. We wrestle with a sinful flesh and a spirit that doesn't want to do the things I want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. That's what Paul said. He's like, I'm in constant battle with myself. We are broken people. We miss the mark, and we're not righteous. Now, if I end the sermon right here and say, let's pray, this is in a pretty bad spot for all of us, going, well, thanks, Kelly. You're a jerk, right? Thanks, that was a great sermon. I feel horrible about myself. This sermon is not meant to make you feel horrible about yourself, because I don't want people to walk out of here going, I feel guilty because I never do good enough, because that's not what it's about either. What we're going to be talking about today is recognizing that we're all sinners and none of us can make it on our own. None of us can do good enough to be righteous and be seen as right in God's eyes. Paul says this in chapter 3, verse 10. He said, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. If you sit there and go, hey, that pastor's got it all together, they're doing great, they are not righteous. I am not righteous. I can't be righteous. I can't be perfect. No matter how much I try, I will fail because I have sin in my life and I have a sin nature. And I constantly have to lean on the grace and mercy of God to get me through every single day. And every single one of us needs to do that. Not one of us is perfect, not even one. Not one of us is righteous, not even one. But there is some hope. There's a lot of hope for us. Paul continues on in chapter 3, 19 through 20, and says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. See, this is the big understanding that I think sometimes people mistake with the Old Covenant and New Covenant. The Old Covenant was God saying, look, I'm going to set you up for the people of Israel. You're going to be my people. I'm going to set you up. If you follow me, I protect you. If you don't follow me, I take that veil of protection from you until you follow me again. And it happened with Israel over and over. They would follow him. He would protect them. He would make their lives bountiful. And as soon as they walked away from him, he would withdraw that protection. They would go into exile. They would be taken over. Stuff would happen. God set up the law to not to say, now you can be righteous because this law. He set up the law to say, this is what sin is. If you break this, that's sin. If you break this, that's sin. And he went through all of it to say, if you don't follow the law, you're sinning. You're breaking what it means to be righteous through me. And Paul's saying here, no one can be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. And what that means is no matter what you do, how hard you love people, how much you give, how many food pantries you serve at, how many missions trips you go on, how much you do, you can never be seen righteous by God by what you do. It's not possible. Once again, if I stop here, this is a horrible sermon, right? If we stop here, we sit here and go, then what hope is there? What hope is there for our lives? If we can never become righteous on our own, if we can never make that happen, then why do I try? Should I quit? What happens? Well, what we're going to learn is there's a term that fixes all of this. And that term is called justification. Justification, this word justification, is actually only found twice in Paul's writings. But the word to justify or to be justified is found all over throughout his writing, pointing to justification and this term justification. Justification means this, a term that describes the event whereby a person is declared to be in a right relationship to God or in a right relation to God. What that means is there's an event that happens in your life that makes it so now you are seen to be right with God. That you don't have sin separating you from him. That you don't fall under the law of going, I've broken it and I can never have a relationship with God. He sees you as right. Another way to put this is the process by which a person is seen righteous in God's sight. Where God looks at you and goes, you are righteous. I see you as righteous. Not just I see you, I declare you as righteous. This word declare is incredibly important. That God declares you as righteous once you've been justified. He no longer takes and goes, you're held accountable for your sin and you're held accountable for sinning against me. I see you as righteous in my sight. I declare you're righteous. We can have a direct relationship together with nothing separating us whatsoever. On this earth, you can live in my glory, and in heaven, you can live in my glory with me as well. It is by making a relationship with God, being justified, justification. And Paul starts to go through this in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. It was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Paul's sitting here going, you fall short. We all fall short. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Every one of us in this world is sinners. But we are made right with God if we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a reason we're made right with God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and accept the gift that he's given us. Why? Because justification, when we understand this concept, we understand that we sin. We are sinners. But Jesus had no sin. We miss the mark continuously, over and over. We never hit that mark of perfection. But the mark of perfection is Jesus Christ. It's what we're shooting for. We are not righteous because we have sin separating us from God. But he is righteous. So to be justified, to be seen right in the eyes of God, to be declared righteous where he goes, you're in line with me and I'm in line with you and we can have a relationship without any barriers, you need justification by faith. This term, justification by faith, is core central to what we believe as Christians. It is what everything else is based off of, is understanding that you are justified, made right with God, by faith. And by faith alone. Paul says, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. The penalty for sin? Death. Eternal death. Separation from God. That is the penalty for sin. Because we've separated ourselves from God. And if God goes, if we're not together, if there's separation, there's a separation for all eternity with us. I can't be in the presence of sin. I can't be in the presence of anything but righteousness. Because he's God. And so God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. And how he does this, is we're made right in his sight and declared righteous. We're declared righteous by him. Now this can be a tough one to understand. Because you go, how do we just have faith in Jesus and suddenly we're righteous? Well, this is the way of it. This term, justification, is a legal term. It means to be acquitted to righteousness. Acquitted to righteousness. So what happens is when you are acquitted to righteousness, it means that you stand there before God at some point. And you stand before the Father. And he says, you are guilty of sin against me. And we have no defense because it's true. Except Jesus stands beside us and says, yes, guilty of sin. And then God says, you have sinned, there is a punishment. And Jesus says, yes, there's a punishment. I take it. I take it on, and I've already taken it on. I've already paid the punishment for that sin. And that punishment was death. And I paid that price. Even though I never had to pay it. Even though I didn't owe that debt. Even though I was righteous, I paid that penalty for them. And God says, then you have to be separated from me. And Jesus said, I was. I was separated from you. I had a separation from you. I died, even though I had done nothing wrong. For 3 days, I was separated from your glory so that he or she could live forever. See, what happens through justification is not that it wipes out our sin, because it doesn't. What happens in justification is that your sin is paid for. That it's not wiped away, but that your sin is paid for. The way I was reading in another sermon from 1897, and it's this awesome sermon by Charles Spurgeon. And he says this line, "The way whereby God saves the sinner is not, as some say, by passing over the penalty and not giving it. No, the penalty has already been paid." This is what it means to be justified, is that you sit there and go, when I have faith in Jesus Christ, I take what the grace he's freely given me, and it wipes out my sin, but it doesn't throw it away. It's he pays the penalty for it. That penalty has been paid now. I don't have to pay it. And because I don't have to pay it, and he's taken it on, he took on my sin, and I get to take on his righteousness. It is a character exchange that Jesus gives us so that we can be in the presence of God the Father and of Jesus Christ for all eternity. Paul says in Romans 3:27, "Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith." I'm going to say something right now. You will never do enough to be righteous. There's no way under heaven or in hell to be righteous by works. You cannot enter God's presence by being good enough, because we can never be good enough. I know myself. I am a broken person. I have a sin nature that I fight against every day, that I have to lean on God to fight against every day because I'm human. If it's up to me, I fail and I fall apart. Only when I rely on God does it change who I am. But it doesn't matter what I do. Because the more I do, the more I try to earn my way to heaven, to earn my way into God's good graces, the more I fail because I can't do it. And as soon as I try to do it, I'm now trying to say, look, I'm righteous because of me. Look how good I did. And as soon as you go down that trail, you're boasting in yourself, saying, my works are what gives me righteousness. My works and what I do is what makes me closer to God. And that's not how it works. It's only because God freely gives his grace to us, freely gives it, that we can have a relationship with him. This is core to everything we believe as Christians. And you have to be solid on this. And recognize that you have to be careful not to go one of two ways with this. Because one way you go with it is, okay, if God's paid for it all, then guess what? I can do everything and it's great because anything I want to do, it's already free and clear. Well, guess what God says? If you've really accepted my gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness, then you want to give that to others and you want to live that life because you want to be in me and glorify me for what I've done. But the other way can be just as dangerous. That you go in there, you sit and go, I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do. And because of that, I'm a failure and I'm guilty. And I look in the mirror and I see only failure. That's just as bad. Because guess what? When God looks at you, he doesn't see your failures. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees that sin was paid for and he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you accept Christ as your Savior, and you are justified by faith. That faith changes your life because God now can be in direct contact with you because that sin is no longer buried. Jesus has paid the price to take that away and make it so you can be in a relationship with him. It changes who we are. It changes how we see the world. I want people to know right now, if you've accepted Christ in your life, you have been justified. It's nothing you can lose. If you've accepted Christ and you put your faith in him and you go, I have a life in Christ because he lives in me, guess what? Your salvation is secured. Your life is changed, not because of anything you have done, but because everything God has done for you, because he loves you. God does not need our relationship. God does not need us to be whole, but he chooses to love us. He chooses to give us grace. He chooses to give us mercy, and he chooses to give it freely. And for us, that means only one thing that we have to do. Have faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're sitting here and you're newer to the church, or you've been here a while and you go, you know, I'm trying to figure this whole Jesus thing out. Like, I want to have a relationship with him, but I think I need to be better first. Like, once I fix some things, then I'll come to God. It's going the wrong way about it. Nothing will get fixed good enough to come to God. But God doesn't ask you to say, fix yourself first, then come to me. He says, right where you are, at the depth and depravity of your soul, where you are falling apart, where your life isn't good, where you are a sinner, that's where I want you right now. Have faith in me. Let me do the work. You can't do the work on your own. You can't be righteous no matter what you do. You need Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ. To change who you are, to change your relationship with him, to be justified in him, so that God sees you as right. He declares you as righteous. And if you've been a Christian a long time, these are words I really want you to think about. Your salvation is secure. You have been justified to Jesus Christ. He does not see failure. He does not want you to have guilt. He does not sit there and go, you are condemned for your sin. That condemnation has been paid for. That sin is covered over by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And he wants us to grow in that. He wants us to be what we were designed to be, a creature who worships the God of the universe. And he wants that for every single one of us. Being justified, or justification, is the beginning of all the rest of it. Once you truly grasp that of what it means to be saved by his grace and his mercy and his love, now sets you up to live a life in Jesus, to live a life in Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, to be able to use the gifts that God gives you, to be able to serve others and do those things, not because that makes you righteous, but because God's righteousness in you makes you want to be closer to him. And as we continue to go through the book of Romans, we're going to be looking at how justification continues to change our lives, bring us closer to God, and have a closer relationship with him every single day. Let's go ahead and pray together. God, thank you so much that we could be here today. Thank you that we could be able to, 2,000 years later, read the words that Paul put down. That we could understand a little more of you and a little more of what you've done for us, God. That you would choose him and pick him to share with us who you are. Lord, for those of us who have been Christians maybe a long time, or who have at least accepted you as our Savior and have faith in you, God, I pray that you will help us remember that once that process happens, that's it. We are in your sight. We are seen by you as righteous. We are declared righteous because of what you have done and because of your righteousness, God. That's the way you see us. You don't see our failures and you don't see our downfalls. You see us and you see Jesus. You see yourself living in us. God, I pray that we would remember, if that's how you see us, that's how we need to see ourselves, God. That's what we need to strive for, is that relationship with you where you continue to change our hearts when we cannot change them ourselves. And God, if there are people in here who haven't quite made that decision yet, who are sitting there going, you know, I want that. I want that freedom. I want that release from sin. I want that relationship with God. That God, they would reach out with their hearts right now, reach out with their minds, reach out with their lips, God, and just say, Jesus, I have faith in you. I accept you as my Savior. And that, God, their lives will be changed as you see them no longer a sinner broken apart from you, but you declare them righteous. You declare them right in your eyes. And you can enter their lives because this barrier of sin is taken away by Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray none of us try and do it ourselves, because we'll just fail, God. I pray that we rely on you more every day. That we rely on your goodness, your grace, and your mercy to bring us through. We pray these things in your holy name.